Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
I invite you to look at one of my favorite stories or times in the life of Jesus this morning in Luke chapter 8. We have started a series on the power of purpose. And we talked last week about how powerful purpose is. And the source of that purpose determines really how powerful it is. Jesus said, "For this purpose I was sent." And that was to preach the kingdom of God. And if you're going to be connected with Jesus, you're going to be connected to his purpose. And there are things in our lives, in our everyday lives, that connect us to that great purpose. Now, here's something interesting. You can either be purpose-driven, or you can be aimlessly drifting. Which one are you? Purpose-driven. You have a purpose? Do you have purpose that is driving you? Do you have a purpose that has consumed you and claimed you, and that you are working on and working toward in your life? Well, there is an area of our lives that that every one of us need to have a purpose in, and that is our faith. And I want to invite you this morning to have a powerful faith. A powerful faith. You know, there were very few things that Jesus talked about more than faith. And in many of the stories and in many of his teachings, he had so much to say about faith. And he talked about little faith. And he talked about having faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And being able to say, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, and in another place it says, to this mulberry tree, be removed, and it would be removed. There are so many times that people expressed faith in Jesus, and nothing moved him more than either their faith or their lack of faith. Now, how is Jesus being moved by you and me this morning? By our faith or our lack of faith? Now, what is it that you've lost faith in this morning? Maybe you've lost faith in yourself. You've lost faith in a relationship. You've lost faith in God. You've lost faith in the church. We have more people leaving the church today. Not only do we have the nuns, they have no affiliation with the church, but a growing number of people are part of the duns. They are done with church. Are you on the verge of that? Oh, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. You see, Jesus is coming. And whenever Jesus is on his way to you, the enemy does everything he can to keep that from happening. Now, in Luke chapter 8, from verses 22 through verses 56, I'm not going to read that entire thing, but I want you to look at a verse 20, where Jesus said to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" I want to invite you this morning to have a powerful faith. I want to invite you to leave here today with whatever your faith is, wherever it is in your life. Either you don't have any faith, or you're trying to have faith, or you don't know how to use your faith, you're not sure about faith. I'll just remind you of the little way to define faith. If you take the letters, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I take him, is a great definition of faith. Are you purpose-driven or aimlessly drifting? Years and years ago, the boys were little, and Mark was so little that Dana had to hold on to him while we were in the boat. Jeff was, probably five years old or so, and we were going out to Long Island Bayou to go fishing. And I had my Duracraft boat, and I had my 25-horse motor going. And as we came across Old River Lake, Dana was turned facing backwards to keep the wind out of her face, and she was holding on to Mark. And she spotted two men that were in just a little tiny boat. And they were doing this. And so I slowed down. I went back over there. And they were in no shape to be in a boat on the water. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You can read between the lines. And not that there's any place that you need to be in that kind of shape. Let me just make that clear. But anyway, so those guys' motor had broken down, and they were a long way from the boat ramp, and they needed some help. They were aimlessly drifting wherever the current was taking them. And so, Jeff, you love this story, don't you? So I had Jeff sit down right here beside me. I said, Jeff, you watch them. And we hooked on, we tied their boat onto our boat, and we took off. And I thought, man, pulling that boat pretty good. I kicked up a little bit more. We're going on. Because I was wanting to go fishing with my family, and I needed to get them back to the boat ramp. And we started across Cotton Lake, for those of you that know where the boat ramp is at the end of Guho Road, and the old boat ramp. And I kicked it on up. We're going pretty good. And I decided, and Jeff is sitting there. He's turned around. I turned around and looked, and those two guys were spread eagle on that boat, and it was going this way and that way, and the waves. And I mean, when I looked back, I thought, oh boy, they're going over. Man, I shut it down, and it settled down. I turned to Jeff, and I said, Jeff, I told you to watch them. He said, I was watching. I guess I hadn't finished the rest of the story with him and described that. But you know what? There are people that will watch you capsize in this world. There are people that are looking on to see what you will do. There are people that are watching to see, are you purpose-driven? Are you going to have a powerful faith that has a purpose in it? One day Jesus said to his disciples, and I want you to listen to this verse in verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. Now listen to this. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Now what has Jesus said to you lately? And so they got in the boat and they started to cross, and Jesus went down the boat and went to sleep, and a storm came up. Man, it clouded up and started raining all over their parade there. And so they went down and they got Jesus, and they said, Master, Master, we perish. We are perishing. Jesus got up and he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He spoke to the wind and the waves and it calmed down and they were in awe. They got to the other side of the lake, and as you read on in this story, as soon as they got to the other side of the lake, there was this man who ran up to Jesus. He didn't have a thread on. As the old saying goes, he was just naked as a jaybird, and he ran and just flew into the face of Jesus. The demons began to speak out of him to Jesus. And the Bible says that they did that because he had commanded them to come out of the man. Oh, what it must have been like to have been tormented by those demons. Can you relate? Are there some demons that just, you know, they are demons from hell? You know, it is something that the devil just continues to use in your life that just torment you. How did this man get to Jesus? I believe with what faith he could muster up, knowing how tormented he was, he got to Jesus as best he could, even though the demons took over. And he stood there before Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus commanded those demons out of him, and he commanded them into some swine, and those swine ran down the hill and into the sea and drowned. Now, that just shows you the destructive nature of the devil, and that's all he has in store for you. Don't believe anything that he has for you. Don't believe any story he has for you. But you know what's interesting? Is that the people there were more concerned about the destruction of their swine than they were the deliverance of this man's soul. And they said, "We want you to go." And so Jesus left. Doesn't that make you cry? Doesn't that make you cry? But have you and I ever been guilty of saying, "Jesus, leave me alone. Just leave me alone." The Bible says that Jesus got in the boat. You notice there's no mention of a storm or any clouds coming up whenever Jesus was leaving, only whenever he was coming. And he went to the other side of the lake and back to the Galileans where they welcomed him. And the people were just crowding around him. And there was some of them that came to him and said, "You need to come to the house of Jairus. His daughter is sick." And so Jesus started there. But as he was going there, this huge crowd is around him. And this lady thought, who had had a disease for 12 years. How long have you been dealing with something? Longer? Less? How long have you been dealing with something that is troubling you? And she thought, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." And the Bible says that power went out from him, and Jesus stopped everything and said, "Who touched me?" Now, Jesus wasn't any more ignorant about who touched him than he was not knowing the name of the demon-possessed man that was on the other side of the lake whenever he commanded the demons to say, when he said, "Who are you? What is your name?" And they said, "Legion," because you see, Jesus has that kind of command. He commanded the demons to speak their name just like he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Because he wanted everyone there to know. He wants the world to know that you're not ashamed to say his name. And the woman came forth. Oh, I want to share with you that Jesus told that lady, "Your faith has made you whole. Go your way. Go your way." Now, here was a lady that could not worship because she was unclean. Here was a lady that others didn't want to have anything to do with because She must sin some bad sin. I don't want anything to do with her. But here was a lady who got through to touch the hem of his garment, and so can you. Then Jesus headed on to the house, and they said, too late, too late. Little girl's dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore, the little girl's dead. And he said, Peter, James, and John, mother and dad, you come with me. And they were saying, but Lord, but Lord. And he put them out of the house. And he went in and he said, little girl, arise. And guess what? She wasn't dead as they supposed. She arose and he said, he got them in there. He said, need to give her something to eat. She's hungry. Now, a powerful faith. When Jesus is coming to you, when Jesus says, let's head to the other side. Let's head toward you. When Jesus says, I'm coming to you, the devil is going to bring all the forces of hell that he can. Now watch this. First, there were clouds. There were clouds. Jesus is heading toward you, and the devil, whom the Bible says is the prince of the power of the air, caused something literally, physically to happen, and it clouded up, and a storm came, and guess what? The disciples forgot what Jesus said. Get in the boat, we're going to the other side. Now, how many of you have forgotten that Jesus has promised you, has promised all of us, if we will believe in him, that we will be forgiven of our sins and we will have eternal life and that we will reign with him forever? Have you forgotten that from the time that you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you forgotten that you placed your faith in him and you have thought, man, I wonder if I'm still saved? Man, I have sinned. I've sinned since I got saved. You know, the great preacher Adrian Rogers, who's gone home to be with the Lord, I heard Adrian say, I have repented of more sins since I got saved than whenever I got saved. You know what? We stay before the Lord. How many in here have forgotten what Jesus said when he said, you shall be forgiven of your sins if you'll confess your sins? He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the devil, whenever Jesus says, we're going to the other side, the devil is going to bring clouds into your life in every way that he can. And what do you do whenever there's clouds in your life? You know the mistake they made? They made their sentence too long. They should have just said, Master, Master. And if they would have quit right there, they'd have been in great shape. You know what you and I need to do whenever there are clouds that come into our life? We call out, Master, Master. Not we perish. Master, we're not going to make it to the other side like you said. Master, as you promised in your word, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. We just call out to the Master so that his power can be revealed. Well, I want to tell you something. We see here a story about some clouds. We also see that whenever Jesus is on his way, sometimes it gets real loud. Gets real loud. There are a lot of people making a lot of noise about Jesus these days. I'm so sick and tired. I want to tell you, I am not going to stay quiet about this. Where people want to silence Christianity, but they want to let every other religion in the world have a voice. I'm tired of that. And you ought to be tired of that too. Be heard. Whenever it gets loud against Jesus, you be sure you stand. You're standing in front of Jesus. You stand with him. You stay with him. Oh, Jesus was outnumbered, wasn't he? What's your name? Legion, because we are many. Many? You're not, You're not much. You may be many, but you're not much compared to me, Jesus said. Y'all come out. As a matter of fact, go into the swine, the most despised animal. Go into the swine. You know what Jesus has in store for the devil? Do you know what the end of the story is? Have you read the last chapter of the Bible? Do you know what Jesus has in store for the devil, who has been tormenting you and me for all of our lives, who has been tempting us, who has been terrorizing us? Do you know what he has in store for him? To spend an eternity in a lake of fire that burns forever and ever. I can get excited about that, friends. I can get excited in standing with Jesus, knowing that one of these days, it may not be today, because the Lord may not pay at the end of every day, but in the end, the Lord always pays. Whenever the devil gets loud, you get proud and you stand with Jesus. But then there was a crowd. You know what? I have watched crowds keep people from Jesus. And I want to just tell you something that you've got to put down. If you want to have a powerful faith, you've got to recognize that there is a world of difference between crowding around Jesus and coming to Jesus. You know what I've heard some of you say? Oh, Brother Danny, can I get baptized in private? And you know what I say? No. No, you may not. Brother Danny, it's just such a crowd in some of the services sometimes. I would have come down except for the crowd. I want you to look at a verse, and I want to share with you, I have not preached over a verse, a passage of Scripture more than I've preached this one. This is one of my all-time favorite passages. All of this happened in 24 hours that we're studying here today. And I want you to notice, I saw something I'd never seen before. In verse 44, the Bible says that the woman came from behind and touched the border of his garment. You know what? If the devil's using a crowd, you make sure you make a comeback. Make a comeback. If you have to come from behind, you know the things that the athletic events that you enjoy the most are the ones where there are great comebacks. You know, if you were to Google that, Google your favorite sport and just great comebacks in baseball. I can't remember the exact year, but it was since I was here, and of course that's been a while. But anyway, I remember that at the World Series in one year, and I want to say it was somewhere around 1990 or 91, something like that. And I can't remember both the teams, but I think the Minnesota Twins was one of them. But the two teams that were in the World Series that year finished last in their conferences the year before. And two teams that both finished last battled it out for first place. And you know what? You can make a comeback. And it's that kind of faith that God has given you for you to make a comeback. And there are people in this room that need to come back to Jesus. You need to place your faith in Jesus. You need to make a comeback from where you are. And not necessarily to where you've been, but where Jesus is now in your life. A powerful faith. Clouds and loud and crowds and doubts. Doubts. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Little girl's dead. Would you remember this? If you don't remember anything else this morning, it's never too late for Jesus. It's not too late for you or for me to have a powerful faith. A powerful faith. In the 7th chapter of Luke, the Bible tells us about a centurion. He was a Roman soldier who was an officer over 100 people. And he had a servant who had been so faithful and loyal to him. And he sent for Jesus. Now, some people might say, well, he should have gone to Jesus. Do you know why he sent for Jesus? Because he let Jesus know, even whenever Jesus got close to the house, he sent word and said, I am not worthy to be under the same roof with you. And I believe that you can heal my servant. And he did. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. I have not seen such great faith. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus marveled. Your translation may say amazed. Same thing. You know, Jesus used that word another time. It was whenever people didn't have faith and he was amazed at their lack of faith. You know what kind of faith I want to have? I want to have the kind of faith that even Jesus is amazed at. And I can do that. And you can do that. The centurion was a man that was a soldier for the one that oppressed, for the army and the government that oppressed the people of Israel. He was not a disciple or one of the apostles. He never started a church. He wasn't a theologian. But he had faith. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith. You know what? That can be you. That can be you. And that can be me. Father in heaven, we thank you for your crowd this morning. And we thank you, Father, that no matter what kind of storm the enemy brings into our lives, that you can say, peace, be still. And when you say we're going to get to the other side, we're going to get to the other side. And Father, no matter how loud the world may get against you, no matter how many there are that refuse you, they are not greater than you. For Father, thank you for reminding us this morning that it is never too late for Jesus. And so with every head bowed and every heart lifted to God and everyone standing quietly, as our music begins, as the staff comes forward, I want to invite you to come now. Come down now.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.